Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in central Watford. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. But much better than this is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you. Amen. It's my privilege to lay some foundations for a kind of a two-part, six-part. Anyway, there are three messages we're going to do first, and the series is called Love Life. And in these first three messages, we're asking an important question. What has God got to do with our love lives? It's not something we talk about every week, but we're going to talk about it now. And I hope you don't feel uncomfortable about it. I'm not uncomfortable. And some of you are going to be wishing you didn't actually come to church today. But you're here now, and it'd be embarrassing if you just walked out. No, I'm just joking. I want us to be honest with God that there are some areas of our life that we find easy to give over to him and some others where there are some shadows. And let's be really frank and honest about that. And our love lives, the part of our life that has to do with our affections, our sexuality, romance, relationships, sometimes we are in danger of keeping that separate or kind of hiding it away, kind of incognito. And I wonder if you've come across this idea of dualism or the sacred secular divide. I'd suggest to you that we too often live lives of two halves. So, and the devil is in the dualism. I'll explain what I mean. There's an idea that was even established by some of the early Christian leaders, Origen and Augustine and others, and people have had layer upon layer over 2,000 years of church history that has kind of programmed us in really, frankly, an unhelpful way. The programming that is in our minds, it determines the decisions that we make and the prayers that we pray and the things that we do. And that could be described as the sacred secular divide. You may have heard of this. This is the idea that there are some things that are pure and sacred that God has a claim on, if you like, that God is interested in. And then there are some other things that are secular or somehow God's not interested, they're not godly, and they don't really matter. This could apply in lots of areas. It could be that we see Sundays as being sacred. Well, that's my day for God. That's when I worship him. That's when I sing. That's when I'm close to God. And then there's the rest of the week. Now, quite apart from the ratios of that being very scary, 1 to 6 is not a good ratio. But actually, that's how some of us live our lives. I know because I've been there. I've experienced that. I know when I was a teenager at school, I was kind of afraid for my friends at school midweek to know that I was a Christian. I was not a bold believer until I went to sixth form. But during my teenage years, Sunday, where we had to drive a distance to get to church, Sunday was God's day. And then, but as for Monday, there was almost a complete disconnect. So I'm saying I know what it's like, and I lived that until I came to a point when I was about 17 years old, I realized that the two had to come together. Otherwise, this Christian life was not going to work, as in it makes no sense. I realized later on in life, it's an all or nothing proposition. But I was living between Sundays and rest of the week. If you're there in that place, you're in good company, probably in this room. But I believe God's calling us to wholeness and togetherness to bring it together. The third thing could be the worship and the work. Worship is singing songs worship is kind of holy. But as for our work, it doesn't really matter what we do for our jobs or what we do during the rest of the week. It doesn't really matter how we are towards our boss. As long as we can then put a CD on, or does anyone have a CD player still in their cars? Anyway, put an MP3 player, no, that doesn't even work anymore. Anyway, listen to music on the way back from work. Oh, now I'll worship. But then when we go into the office or the workplace or the classroom, that's just our work. And you see, this division is destructive in our lives, and it's not what God has for us. In the same way, many of us have made a separation between love and sex. So love is what God's interested in, as in God is loving. And we think that that form of love doesn't really have anything to do with sex. And so many people today in life are living this kind of dualism. Even many Christians today do not recognize that God wants to have a claim on all of our lives, including our love lives. He does. He makes a claim on all of it. His love makes whole the whole thing. And so I want to challenge you and invite you at the beginning of this series to begin to give God permission. And I know there are layers to this. Begin to give God permission to have his way in our love lives. And let me say this, as we go for the infinitely more that we're looking at in 2019, we sense prophetically as a leadership team, we're being invited to make room for more, to clear out the clutter, to empty the cupboards in our houses, if you like. To clear out some folders on our hard drives. You know, to get rid of some stuff that has been incognito up until now and to bring it into God's presence. That God is saying that to us as a church family, I have so much more for you. So the compromise is replaced with the selfless love of God. That every selfish act is actually redeemed and healed and made whole by the selfless love of God. Is that all right? Okay, good. So when it comes to these things, I believe God is inviting us to reintegrate our lives, that the love of God will come into all of our lives, and that therefore we will be disciples, including to be a disciple in terms of romantically. What does that mean? To be a disciple sexually, to be a disciple in terms of relationships. Imagine how enjoyable life will be when all of those things are part of the same, when there's no hidden areas, when nothing is kept in the dark. And as David so brilliantly led us in prayer earlier, the Lord is saying, look, I see all the stuff that's in the dark. So now bring it to me. Let there be no hidden place. I really sense that's the heart of God for us as a church. And I know it might be uncomfortable for some of us, but I'm not going to avoid that discomfort because I really sense that this is the leading of God. You understand that when we come to pray about what to teach on Sundays, we listen to God and we listen to his voice. And the Lord is saying, look, if you're going to make room for more, this is one of those areas where you need to make room. Let me put it another way. The bedroom is kind of cluttered and needs a tidy up. And so if we're going to invite the Lord into every room in our house, maybe we also need to remember that there is this whole thing of love life that God wants to speak into. Now, when we do this, we need to understand the nature, and today I'm just laying some foundations, the nature of God's love, his selfless, covenant-making, covenant-keeping love. And we see him describe, even throughout the Old and the New Testament, God keeps speaking and revealing the nature of his love. His love is perfect and pure, and his love keeps promises. And there comes a conversation in Deuteronomy that I want to mention. This will come up on the screen. This is Deuteronomy chapter 7, 7 to 9. This is what the Lord says. The Lord did not set his heart on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you and he was keeping the oath he had sworn to your ancestors. That is why the Lord rescued you with such a strong hand from your slavery and from the oppressive hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. This is about the making of a covenant that is not based on the merit of Israel, how numerous or how brilliant or how good looking or how attractive. The Lord says, no, I love you because I love you because I love you. I've made a promise with you because I am love and because I love you. And some of us need to hear that today, that God's never impressed with how you look, although you do look pretty great today. I'm looking around looking pretty good. But even if you didn't, even if you're having a bad hair day, it doesn't change how God feels about you. In fact, there is nothing, and some of you need to hear this, there is nothing you've done and nothing you could do that could ever separate you from the love of God. He loves you because he loves you because he loves you, and he makes a covenant with you. And we know the story, we might look at this a bit more next week. He makes a covenant with us. Even when we break our side of the covenant, he still keeps his side of the covenant. Can I hear an amen? If you are here as a visitor, the more amens I hear, the faster I go. Okay, that does actually genuinely help. It's proven. Research has proven this to be true. You see, God loves forever. He always loves. He keeps on loving. And this series is about seeing how his love impacts our love lives. And in order to do that, I want to draw some contrast. I wonder if I could have some help just with the whiteboard, just if you could bring it up here. That would be great, Johnny and Paul. Really appreciate that. Now, I want to draw from you. Thank you very much. Oh, good. Plays the guitar and moves furniture. So if available to hire, he's a student. He'd give you money for anything. He's got fees to pay. So I want us, between us all, to, based on our experience, and based on what we've read in the scriptures and what we know, I wonder if between us we could find a way of describing, or some words that describe, the love of God. So where you are, just shout out attributes of the love of God. Let's see if we can fill this whole board with attributes of the love of God. Okay, everlasting. Okay, the louder you shout, the more likely I will hear it. Everlasting, okay. Unconditional, that's right. There's nothing we can do to change it. He loves us because he loves us. Faithful. Faithful. Wow, good. Merciful. So just to be clear, because that's a bit of a religious kind of word, merciful means that God withholds what we might deserve. And mercy is God not giving us what our shame or selfishness deserves. So he's merciful. There was one over there. Compassionate, that's right. Compassionate and also just. In other words, there's no compromise in God's love, is there? It's true in that sense. Sorry? Kind, yes. His love is kind, isn't it? Sorry? Eternal, that's kind of everlasting. So it's kind of the same idea. This love doesn't actually go away. It doesn't change. It doesn't fluctuate. It's not based on emotion, is it? This love is actually everlasting and eternal. So patient. And there was another one that I just missed.
Righteous.
And righteous. Right. Sorry?
Forgiven.
Or forgiving. Oh, okay, yeah, forgiving, for sure. His love is forgiving, which links to the idea of merciful. What about over here? Pure. His love is pure. Someone's saying super califragilistic. I'm not doing that one, okay? All right? That's very cheeky. Okay, anyone else? Sorry? Sacrificial, it is. His love is sacrificial. It gives up, doesn't it? As in, it surrenders. It is selfless in that sense. His love, let me write that down. That's a good. His love is selfless. Even the love of God in his perfection is selfless.
Perfect.
There was another one?
Enduring,
yeah. Was that mighty? Yeah, it's a powerful force, isn't it? His love, the love of God is mighty and strong. It's not weak, but actually it's able to transform situations. That's true.
Tender
and gentle. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? The relationship between God's love being mighty, but also, what did I say? That is where I spelled it right. Between tender and gentle. That is, it's such an amazing mixture of strength, but also gentleness.
Healing,
it is. It makes whole, doesn't it? It restores. It's a healing love. Always there. So present. Okay, a couple more. Sorry? Searching, as in goes looking out for us. Okay, yeah. There's another one over here. Deep. Deep. His love is deep. Sorry? Unchanging. Have we got that? No, we don't. It's true. Unchanging. Somebody I chatted to earlier said this word, and I think it'll be the last one I want to throw in there. Generous. His love is generous. And free. Yeah, that is related. And free. So this is based. Should do yoga or something. So that's it. That's full. End of. Finished. And tree. We'll come to the tree later. Right. Everlasting. That's good. We've got that one already. Thank you, Lindsay. We've got that. So the love of God, we could fill 100 whiteboards with this. Because of what we've read in the scriptures. But it's not just theory. This is stuff we've experienced. It's stuff that we know to be true. The love of God is everlasting, eternal, unconditional, faithful, merciful, compassionate, just and kind and patient, righteous, forgiving, pure, sacrificial and selfless, perfect, enduring, mighty, but also tender and gentle, healing and present and searching. It's deep. It's unchanging. The love of God is generous and the love of God is free. Now that is a fair description. Well done. I mean, we would say that is the testimony of our lives and of the scriptures. The challenge is that that is not always the hallmark of our love lives. And listen, I'm speaking to those who are married and those who are not married. I'm speaking to those who don't ever want to be married. I'm speaking to those who would like to be. This series applies to everyone. We all have a love life. Some of you might say, well, my love life's non-existent. Well, in which case, this is also for you. As in, no one's excluded from this. This is not a series of talks about kind of marriage. This is a talk about life. It's about having the whole of our lives surrendered to God. And it would be great, wouldn't it, if every marriage was hallmarked by this, or every relationship was hallmarked by this. But this is what we do. We drift away from the love of God. And because within us there are powerful forces at work, there are selfish forces at work, and we drift away. And the further we get away from the love of God, the more damage we create in the darkness. And we drift away. And it's actually we turn our back on God and we do things in private places. We do things that are motivated by selfishness rather than selflessness. We do things out of greed and lust. And lust is the opposite of the love of God. Lust is selfish. And we live in a lust-filled world that is fueled like on high-octane fuel. It's always been an issue since the beginning sin entered the world. Lust has driven many women and men's actions. And actually in our past, in our background, there's all stuff that actually we did because lust had its way with us. And so much damage is caused. And I'm here talking about a serious subject because we've gathered together. There's a lot of effort to get here. Let's do some business with God, shall we? Let's not just talk about stuff that is the same old, same old. Let's actually present ourselves to God in a new way. And I believe for some of us, this is a new season. 2019 is not going to be like 2018. Something new is happening, and it involves inviting God into the bedroom of our lives. And see, the thing with lust is that its power, it's a very powerful force that is based on our selfish desire for what we don't have. It's envy. In fact, when it comes to how to be a disciple sexually, if you like, the Apostle Paul has lots of things to say in his letters about this. Some of this we will work through and we'll touch on over the next this series, and then when we come back to this in June. I want to present to you one of the uncomfortable passages amongst many. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6 to the church there. He says, "Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does, for sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. It seems to me that God really cares about our love lives, and he cares about our bodies. And actually, his desire is that our whole being is in the love of God. God is love. Whoever lives in him loves, lives in God, and God lives in them. What he's calling us to is wholeness, where it's all his business. And yet we find ourselves, and instead of it being black or white, because in this whole area, there's not quite as much black and white as we would like. Certainly, if you've been growing up in the church, it's like, well, things as clear as day. I can point the finger at the darkness and I can do so in self-righteousness so easily. I want to suggest to you that it's not so much a case of it's either lust or love, but I'd suggest that a lot of our motives are a mixture. And the question we should be asking ourselves is what I'm doing or thinking, is that relationship, is it motivated more by selfless love or selfish lust? And to ask ourselves some of those questions. And there are some thoughts that we have that are just thoughts. And then there are some thoughts that we entertain. In other words, there are thoughts that we invite into the house and we make it a cup of tea. Do you know what I mean? The thoughts we entertain, we need to... I really believe God's saying, I'm going to teach you to be much better at asking a question, is this lust or love? And actually, if it's lust, to turn you away, turn your back on it. Because our bodies are to be temples of this. Our bodies are set aside to be temples of the love of God and not to be pulled away into lust. Now, I don't know how many of you have got Danielle Steele novels that you're willing to admit about. But she sold 800 million romance novels. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But this is what she said, which is interesting. She said, lust is temporary. Romance can be nice, but love is the most important thing of all, because without love, lust and romance will always be short-lived. Maki Desade said, another author said this, which is a cheery thought. He says, lust is to the other passions what the nervous fluid is to life. It supports them all, lends strength to them all. Ambition, cruelty, avarice, revenge are all founded on lust. We witness to that. We see evidence of that sometimes in our own lives and certainly in the world that we live in. Keira Knightley, not always known for her profound statements of philosophical weight, but this is what she said. I don't think that you can fake warmth. You can fake lust, jealousy, anger. Those are all quite easy, but actual genuine warmth, I don't think you can fake it. And Douglas Horton, an American minister, said, the more we're filled with the thoughts of lust, the less we find true romantic love. If that's what people comment on, I wonder what the Holy Spirit might be saying to us. I think he's inviting us into the love of God. And some of us, if we're honest today, this really is hitting the nail on the head, and it's really uncomfortable. Because actually, if the love of God is here, as it's represented here on the whiteboard, kind of on the platform, we find ourselves here in the corner thinking that God doesn't see. I'm not pointing, I'm just here, okay? It's not personal. But we find ourselves cowering over things and over attitudes and actions and even relationships that we know are wrong. But they're a long way from the love of God. The Holy Spirit is calling us back in, inviting us in to the selfless love of God, to wholeness, to purity, to kindness, to patience, to righteousness. He doesn't do that to point the finger. It's a calling. It's an invitation to be made whole again. The great thing is there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You see, God's love is faithful forever. It's a covenant of kindness. But lust is fleeting feelings. We're kind of marvelous for a moment. And you know what I'm talking about. Just for a moment. God's got better things for all of us. He's got so much more for all of us. And in this series, we're going to be exploring that. And this is really just a beginner conversation. You'll be carrying this through, and if you're in a community group, you'll be talking this through maybe over the lunch table, if that's uncomfortable with your parents. But I believe God's starting a conversation, and he invites you into it. How's your love life? And is the love of God really purifying and making whole every area of your life? Because I believe it can. I really believe it can. And I've shared many times from this platform my own experience as a teenage lad, having seen some things on VHS. Remember that? Anyone remember VHS? They were cassette things. I remember seeing some things that plagued my mind over and over again, that were really got to a point of torment. And one very, very powerful encounter with the Lord was enough to completely erase my memory of all those images in my head. Never saw those again. That's my own personal experience as a teenage lad in the middle of the summer. And you know what I'm talking about? It was amazing how God just said, I'm with you in this. I didn't feel judged. I didn't feel condemned. I just felt loved. And when that love cleanses and renews, it's amazing what happens. And of course, ultimately, the thing that makes the biggest difference is the thing that sums all of this up is the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ, it says it all. Because here we find justice, and here we find compassion. Here we find mercy and patience. Here we receive compassion from God. It's at the cross of Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you haven't experienced the love of God in Christ, you don't know what I'm talking about. It sounds like a kind of pie in the sky. I'm telling you, it's not. It can be an everyday, even a today experience, that you come to the cross of Jesus Christ and you can receive the love of God. And you might say, what about all that stuff I did when I was 17? What about all that stuff when I did last week? How does God... Listen, bring it all to the Lord and bring it all to the cross. And you'll receive the love of God. It's amazing. He's amazing. Forgiven. And you'll find, yes, it's mighty and strong to hold you, but also tender and gentle. And some of you here, you've not known tender love. And I say prophetically, if that's you today, that there is more of God for you to experience in this coming season than you've ever known before. If you've only known a form of love that is kind of violent or greedy or grabbing, I want to say that the selfless love of God is available to you today in Christ. And as we're made whole, and as our lives are integrated, as this dualism becomes a single, wholehearted focus on God, as we come to the cross, we can live whole lives. And the songs we sing about the love of God will mean all the more to us. And to me, that sounds pretty good, because God loves forever, and he'll keep on loving, and he'll love, and he'll love, and he'll love, and he'll love, and he'll keep loving. Not just today, but always. And the band are going to come up, and we're going to spend some time in prayer. And we're going to send the music's going to help us. But listen, what we're not doing is just going through some motions. Now, honestly, if there's nothing about this message that really touches where you're at, honestly, have a Sunday off. What I mean by that is just pray for the people next to you. I'm not expecting everyone to really connect with this on the same way, because for some of us, this isn't the big issue of the moment. But for some of us, this really is an area where the Lord's just saying, look, can I just deal with some things? Because there's more for you to know. If that's the case, this is space now for you to make some response in your own way, to pray as the songs help you to reflect. And as we do this, I want to invite you to come to the Lord with an open and honest heart. And I'm going to pray a simple prayer of confession. And we're going to pray. And then Angela's going to lead us in one of those songs that's just been on my mind all the way through the week about the love of God. Some of you remember it because you sang it when you were six. I know it's old, but it's good. And as we do this, let's allow the songs and the worship to lead us in response. So Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your perfect love. It casts out all fear. Thank you that your love is not judgmental, but it is just. Thank you that you are just and you are forgiving. And Lord, we're sorry We're sorry, Lord, for any times in our lives, even this week, where we've tried to hide things away. Lord, we bring it out into the open now. We say, we give it all to you, Lord. You're so loving. So, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us and help us as a church family to truly walk in your ways and to live in your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's just Psalm 131 says, Lord, my heart is not proud and my eyes aren't haughty, and I don't involve myself in great matters or things too difficult for me. Surely I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child resting with his mother. My soul's like a weaned child within me. And just that place of safety, I just felt like the Lord wanted to bring us to, that we can just come and we don't have to be fancy or complicated. We can just come and quieten ourselves before him and rest with him and let him minister to us in a safe place. Thank you, Lord.
Just in this place, as the banner was mentioned over us, I feel some of us have felt very exposed, very vulnerable. Maybe lost some respect or dignity. Maybe that's how they feel. And I just feel the sense of God's heart for you right now is that his banner of love will restore you, will cover you. The aches, the pains, the exposedness of your life. He's going to cover it with love. He's not covering you with judgment. And he wants to uncover any guilt and shame in this place, because there's no room in God's house for guilt and shame for what Jesus has done on the cross. He wants you to find more freedom. And it's just what we've all been saying. This is part of a journey. This is something we commit to. There is infinitely more freedom for you. But God is inviting you into this love relationship. You've got to respond to this. And that's why we're not rushing, because we want to give you the time to receive this. Don't be afraid of his banner of love. Don't allow any accusing voices to stop you from the inviting, tender, welcoming extension of Jesus. Jesus has opened up his throne room to you. All access. Question is for us, as we continue to journey this as a family, will we give him all access of our lives? I want to encourage you as well, for in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, says God doesn't keep, love does not keep any records of wrongdoing. Once it's repented, it's gone. It's gone. So I just want to encourage you, his banner of love is all embracing, all accepting. It is restoring, it is healing. So right now in this place, Lord God, I pray that every lie of the enemy, any lie that has come from within that is not of your spirit, that is not of your nature, that is not of your character, would begin to fall off Wellspring Church and the people here right now. I pray right now by your Holy Spirit, you'd start ministering into the deepest places of our lives, Lord God. This is it. We're doing open heart surgery right now, God. And we're not hiding anything from you. We don't need to protect ourselves. We don't need to protect you. We're calling for that banner of love, Lord God. Would you wrap us? Would you clothe us with the garment of love? Father, I pray right now, you have full access into your house, into your place of worship. You've called us into this, Lord God, and we will not fear. Your perfect love cast out all fear right now in Jesus' mighty name. Anxiety, fear, guilt, shame, be gone in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord. We're seeking you, Lord. We're seeking out to you. We want your love in our lives. We want your love in our life, Lord God. Come, come that we may build our lives upon Jesus Christ and his eternal sacrifice. Right now, Lord God, we build our lives on you. Amen. Amen. And a final blessing for you all. I bless you with the love of God, the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to be kind and to be kind to yourself. This is a process. And as we go from here and over the next coming weeks, I pray a blessing of courage to keep on going, to keep pressing in, to keep accessing that throne room, to show yourself, to be real with God, but also to be real with the situations, the surroundings, your relationships. I pray a boldness over you. And I pray if you stumble at a hurdle, you will not fall, but you would keep going. I pray that the love of God would transform your heart and your lives and your minds and your relationships. And I pray you go from this place knowing that you're not going on your own, but with a Trinitarian God blessing you to bring transformation and to expand his kingdom of love. So be blessed and go in his power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wonderful.
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.